Hello and welcome to the Cherry Leaf podcast. It's November 2020. We're still in the lockdown. In fact, the parks are still open. I thought I'd take the opportunity to do another walking podcast. In fact, I'm along the riverbank of the Thames between Staines and Laleham. On my left is the River Thames, which you may hear, and the seagulls above. And there's some posts in the river, and on two of the posts are some very large black birds with yellow beaks. I don't know what they are. And to my right are houses, people that live by the riverbank. So let's just walk on. And this time, what I thought I would talk about is the Developer Portal Awards, which are coming up on the 25th of November. So there are 14 nominees for Best Design, 6 nominees for Best API Business Model, and 9 nominees for Best Developer Dashboard. So let me explain my involvement with that. So there is a jury, and the jury's task is to evaluate the submitted developer portals along certain criteria and select the winners for those different categories. There is one judge, who is Emmeline Wang, who is a global digital business strategy leader. Some of you, if you're involved with APIs, may well have heard of her. She's quite well known. She's reviewing and selecting the winner for the Best Design, Best API Business Model, and Best Developer Dashboard categories, and also involved with the Best Overall category. And Dr. Bob Watson is another jury member. He's a senior technical writer at Amazon Web Services in Seattle. And the third juror is me, Ellis Pratt from Cherryleaf. And what I'd like to do, not so much talk about who's likely to win, that decision's not been made yet, but more about the decision-making criteria. How do you decide what makes a good API? And this competition is hosted by a company called Pronovix, which is based in Belgium and in Hungary. And they've given the jury members some guidance on what to look for, how to judge things. One part is we've identified 3 dimensions that API teams can work on to improve the business value of their developer portal. 1, operational maturity. Does your developer portal work in synergy with all your authoring personas? Are there some or everyone who needs to push through significant friction to be able to contribute to your developer portal? 2, developer experience. How well does your developer portal serve your API customers? Have you removed as much friction as possible from the integration journey? Have you incorporated trust signals to help them make their interface investment decisions? And 3, business alignment. Is your developer portal an IT solution that helps you to execute on your API program, or have you worked on an interface strategy that complements your business and that will help your company to adjust to and thrive in a complex and always changing market? So I've stopped walking. I will restart in a second, but I'm actually at a sign because I'm at Penton Hook Lock. So I'm on the Thames Path. The Thames Path National Trail is one of a family of long distance routes, and it follows the River Thames 180 miles from its source in Gloucestershire to the City of London, ending at the Thames Barrier. And I'm at the bit which is near Staines. This is the highest upstream of the locks built by the Corporation of the City of London. The lockkeeper's house was built in 1814, and the date can be seen on the city coat of arms in the front of the building. If you travel along the Thames, you'll notice that each lock has a house for its resident lockkeeper. These were built to differing designs, often reflecting the local vernacular. This design only survives here and at Sunbury Lock. So let's walk on. Yes, I'm by a lock in the Thames, Penton Hook Lock. If you ever saw the Monty Python sketch where somebody was thrown into a lock by having their face slapped around with a fish, it looks similar to that sort of lock. See if I can get across onto Penton Hook Island. If not, we'll walk along the riverbank. Anyway, so what we've been asked to do as jurors is to look at the different entries the different categories that people are looking at. Cross over the lock. There's a bar, just had to go into the lock. And then rate the different entries on a scale of 1 to 5. So one category is best overall. Mature dev portals excel in UX and DX from both an internal and external angle. They take care of the authoring and publishing experience, enable a fast first API call, have an active community, provide a personalized experience upon login, perform well regarding self-service for both novices and experienced users. Well, hang on, let's just get across the weir. Okay, often relevant docs for decision makers and developers, innovated how to present and consume content, promote interactive materials, shared code samples in multiple languages redundantly, and ensure that the chosen environment, such as platform and marketplace, takes the utmost care of differentiated audiences. Last but not least, great developer portals also serve a clear business purpose. They provide their organization with the tools and the space to experiment, learn and develop new business opportunities. So I'm just going onto an island in the middle of the Thames, past this weir, which is why it's so noisy. Let me get past that, that's a bit wider. So one of the categories I've been asked to judge the entries for is the best accessible API portal. And the guidance that I was given was dev portals that take the initiative to make their APIs and documentation accessible to all possible users, regardless of disability type or severity of impairment. Some evaluation criteria are appropriate code content to support different learning paths, for example, tutorials with text, visuals and code snippets, API documentation supporting both concept to first and code learning strategies, easy to comprehend content, so no lengthy or complex sentences, image alternative texts are present, transcripts of video content are provided, and links contain text. And simple and consistent layout, descriptive buttons, clickable elements are put in context, no bright colors, good color contrasts, keyboard only use is supported, all information is published, not buried in downloads, clickable elements are given space, there's no timeout windows. So what I did in looking at the different entries and assessing them was firstly use a web accessibility tool called Wave to see if that brought up any errors or any warnings. And that provides guidance on general accessibility warnings, contrast errors, features. Also checked if the sites were mobile friendly by looking at them by resizing the browser window. And then looking at the text, how clear it was, checking whether there was that concept first approach, checking if it could be used by a keyboard. The standard was very good. There was one or two which weren't, that had some issues, but the rest were really on the button. Another category was best design. It's raining and I'll just stop walking. Dev portals that found the perfect harmony of usability, content and aesthetics. These developer portals present every aspect of the API in a well-structured, logical way. Developer portals that inspire trust through superior production quality. And innovation, inspirational and motivational content, tools for user engagement, for example, pay for work, innovative testing, supporting several learning approaches, API Explorer, visuals, and anything that surprises you as a juror in a positive way. Another category they've got is API business model, and the guidance we got was this year we combined three categories due to significant overlap. The best API business model, best decision maker documentation, and best policies and terms of use will be awarded under a single award category. This category is for dev portals that found an innovative way to present their business models. They managed to increase the API's perceived value through appropriate and clear description and build trust through a genuine approach to legal topics such as policies and terms of use, some evaluation criteria, clear pricing models, case studies and testimonials, business-related blogs. And then onboarding is another category, dev portals with transparent steps to registration and granting access that show what their APIs are about and how they work, how developers can start integrating and where they can find resources. The evaluation criteria for that category is visuals that show the API architecture, clear onboarding process, what's needed to actually get started, step-by-step tutorials, video tutorials, case studies, use cases, and accessibility of tryout. Let me move on to somewhere a little bit drier. And another category is best developer dashboard. The criteria for that one is dev portals that take specific care of a logged in developer user journey. These portals provide a dashboard that enhances a developer experience, for example, with metrics, transparent pricing, and an overview of API keys. And then the final category that I'll talk about is best community spotlight and outreach. And that's the one of the categories that I've been asked to judge. This category is about dev portals with creative solutions or initiatives to show developers that their work is appreciated. Portals with great community sections where developers can share knowledge and build connections. Some evaluation criteria that we've been given, or I've been given as guidance for this, to consider blogs, events, community pages, links to third-party communities, and forums. So how do you judge whether a community is successful? This was quite a challenge to assess because you had small companies starting out where there was a great deal of information, support and engagement and blogging and videos and the like, but it was pretty much one way. It was a monologue. Because they didn't have a large user base at this stage, there wasn't much in terms of content from the actual users themselves, the customers. And then you had other very large companies that have been around for decades with lots and lots of APIs, and there was lots of user engagement. But there was this challenge of complexity and dealing with legacy content. So this one was quite a challenge to actually assess as to how do you judge between quite different types of companies with different challenges that are there. Those are the different categories. The event is on from 4 o'clock GMT or UTC time till 6 o'clock, ending with a virtual champagne session. Part of the event will be to interview the jury and to ask questions, and we've been forewarned on what some of the questions are likely to be. Those being, which category was the most challenging for you? And as I said, it's really community, because it is quite hard to assess the different types of organisations and the challenges they face. What aspects did you take into account when reviewing your categories? And that is about really those that have to deal with legacy and those that have the advantage of starting from scratch. Although I'll talk a bit more and reflect on that after this lovely little white Scotty dog with a very muddy belly just passed. What did you learn during your review? What did I learn? Well, one thing that stood out was the high quality of so many of the entrants. There's a lot of time and money and thought going into creating some very high quality, very good API developer portals at the moment. And did I encounter any surprising or exciting solutions? Yes, to an extent. I'll talk about that at the event on that date. So we will include a link to the event in the show notes if you want to attend and watch the event and to get an opportunity to see all the different entrants and view the winner and so on. And I hope it's a good event and maybe we'll see each other online over the webcams. Just to finish up, a little bit of news about Cherryleaf. We've introduced two new courses. We've struggled to work out the best way of describing how we deliver them and come up with virtual classroom as being the way. That's essentially meaning there's a trainer on Zoom or Teams and there's a delegates on Zoom and Teams, and we run the class in a very similar way to as if everyone was in a physical classroom. So we call that a virtual classroom. The two courses we've introduced, one is a technical writing course for support staff. So the people that are doing support tickets and the like can get involved with writing troubleshooting guides and online help and onboarding, helping them with the fundamentals of writing clearly and efficiently and effectively. The other course is a policies and procedures writing course for financial procedures. We've been involved with some projects recently that involved financial related procedures, be it management accounting or statutory accounting procedures or budgeting and financial control type procedures within organisations. And so for those people that are involved in writing those and want some guidance, so people like accountants who know the accountancy side but don't have really much training in how to write clearly, then we've got a course now, a virtual classroom course for them, and that's on the Cherryleaf website, cherryleaf.com, under the training section. And that's it, the rain stopped, and I'll walk back towards the entrance of where I came onto the towpath. Thank you for listening. If you want to contact us, info@cherryleaf.com, you're more than welcome to give us a rating on the podcast platforms such as iTunes. That helps enormously. Apart from that, thank you for listening. Until the next time.